This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Butler drives to his right, slams on the brakes, back out to Struce, relocates, gets it, fires, for three, got it! Oh, Jimmy Buckets with a big one!
Jimmy Buckets, a third quarter of culture for the Heat last night. We are live from ESPN Studios. I'm in Bristol, Bart Scott in the Seaport District in New York City. It's Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, and we are presented by Progressive Insurance. Sizzle, before we even begin anything, you're there at Seaport. Pat Beverly has been hanging out down there for like 3 days, and he is just,
Yeah, he's been down here rent-free.
Smoke all over the building.
Yeah, he ain't seen me walk through. I'm like, hold up, little micro mini pimp. Like, you the chihuahua version of me. You know what I'm saying? I'm just like, hey, man, I'm the football version of you. He looked at me like he ain't know who the hell Bart Scott was. Hey, hold up, chief. Hold up. I'm the smoke blower around this piece. You know what I'm saying? Like, yo, you new to this. I'm true to this. But, you know, it was all good. You know, y'all tell you what, y'all working him like Kunta Kinte around this mug, bro. I hope they give you at least a hotel pass, like from a round trip for JetBlue or something. You know what I'm saying? You over here getting all this smoke, getting all this heat from KD, everybody coming for you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Listen, you can say it. You just got to be able to stand tall on it.
Yeah, and he certainly isn't afraid to say it, and he is. It's actually a pretty good comp. Like he is the NBA version of you, even when it comes to being on the air. You know, pulling no punches, not holding back, and
double down.
There were some people that didn't like what he was saying and didn't like the stuff that he was saying. But yeah, no, he's put in a week's worth of work, and he's come up with a week's worth of takes on all things NBA. But you know what? Let's get into what happened last night, man. Because I called it. It was a culture quarter, that third quarter. If I told you that the Celtics would have won the first, second, and fourth quarters, would you say that they probably won the game?
No, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. Especially, listen, it was looking bad. And I think the Celtics are going to kick themselves because they let one get away just because they lost focus, right? And, you know, turning the ball over, they got lackadaisical. I felt like, listen, one thing is apparent. You know, I know Miami won the game, but Boston is bigger and more physical and more athletic. They don't have the wings that can consistently contest Jaylen Brown when he's on, and he started playing better at the end of the game, and Jason Tatum. They really don't have anybody that can check him. Does it feel like Jason Tatum is 4 inches taller than Jimmy Buckets?
Oh, yeah.
It seems like he's so much bigger
way
and stronger,
bigger.
And you add Al Horford to that, and you add Smart. It's going to be a problem. Williams is going to be a problem. If he can get any type of win conditioning, you know what I mean? If he can find a second win, it's going to be tough, man, because one thing is apparent to me, Boston is much bigger and much more athletic, and I think Boston might get this, man.
So you had no concerns. You feel like this was just one bad quarter.
Yeah, I
think 39-14, 22-2 run. Celtics came out soft in the second half. The Heat had, they had to check themselves at halftime because the first half, they were invisible. That game, I had friends of mine texting me like, man, this series has no sizzle. Like, this is boring.
Yeah.
Like, it was not an exciting game. Third quarter happened and things suddenly flipped and then it just went too far. The Celtics couldn't do anything about it. So
Thank God for Tyler Hero. I mean, because he kept them in it or it would have been nasty. It would have been nasty, Allen.
Tyler Hero. Like, him and Jimmy Butler are the reasons why the Heat won this game.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, if he wouldn't, he saved them coming in after 7 minutes.
So he kept him in the game.
He kept
him
in it until they could figure it out, man.
Early on.
Because they could have had no offense.
Yeah, and then Jimmy Butler really got it going. And I mean, he was sensational in that third quarter. But that was Heat. That's why I keep calling it that was their culture quarter.
Yeah.
That's who they are. They just played harder than you. They played tougher than you. And let's make this straight talk by Straight Talk Wireless, because Ime Udoka, I mean, when he was asked what happened in that third quarter, he'll let you know.
Got out tough, out physical. They looked like they came out in the second half and wanted to up their physicality and aggression and on both ends, and they did that. I don't think we obviously responded well on either end of the floor. We had eight of our 16 turnovers in that quarter, played in the crowd on offense, got sped up, and then defensively, offensive rebounds, getting muscled around in the post. Some poor fouls, got them to the free throw line, and so, you know, flipped very quickly and just lost our composure. And, you know, we won three quarters other than that, but obviously that one's going to stand out. Semi bounced back in the fourth and started to play well again and match their physicality, but 39-14 on 2-for-15 is tough to overcome.
Yeah, and 22-2 obviously was the big run. Jimmy Butler outscored the Celtics himself 17-14 in that quarter. There was the play that really, to me, was emblematic of the whole thing, Bart. It was when he had a steal, went down, finished a layup, then hid behind Robert Williams, yep. waited for a pass that was a little bit lazy, picked it off, took it down once again. It's like back-to-back steals for two. It's like four quick points, and you could just see the Celtics were reeling from there. Jimmy Butler on that third quarter.
More than anything, it just shows us what we're capable of whenever we worry about getting stops, getting into the open floor, getting to the free throw line, all of those good things. It just reminds me that we can do it. I see it on this piece of paper. I lived it, so I expect us to be able to do that every quarter from here on out.
Every quarter, Bart.
I'm concerned. I'm concerned for Miami.
I can't believe that you're saying like this. Amazing that your take out of all this.
I see something totally different.
Is your concern now? The concern for the Celtics is they didn't have Al Horford. They didn't know that till right before game time because he's now in health and safety protocols.
And we hope it doesn't spread.
And he could be right. And they've got some, like as Brian Windhorst was saying this morning on Get Up, that there's some staff members of the Heat also that have. Been there. So that could end up becoming an issue, but Marcus Smart not being there as well. They're missing two key pieces, but yet you, Bart Scott, say that you're more concerned for Miami after watching game one. That was all straight talk, by the way, straight talk, wireless, no contract, no compromise. Tell me why you're more concerned with Miami.
Boston's too big and too physical and too long and too athletic at the wings, and they really have nothing. I mean, unless they may have to find Marquise Morris just to give them some big size and rebounding and toughness and be able to spread the court. Listen, if Williams was in a little better shape, like he's dominating Bam. He's throwing Bam around like he's a lightweight, right? They look like they're in two different weight classes. It looked like middleweight versus welterweight, right? He just moved them around. He just ran out of gas, and then they got sloppy. And I think really what we saw in the third quarter, we saw a team that had been off and ended their series early. And we saw a team that in the second half, those legs got a little heavy and they got lackadaisical and lazy in which, you know, doing the little things, right? Staying in the stands, right? You saw Bam, you know, go down and start getting in the stands, play great wing defense and go back and pin somebody, you know, Jason Tatum ball against the corner. Yeah. Right, but like when you look at it as a whole, offensive rebounding should be easy for them, right? Especially if you got, just think, when Al Horford comes back, now you got the athletic wing that's going to stay with Bam, but then they have nothing for Williams. You know, I always get them mixed up. Not Grant Williams. Who's the one? Williams.
Well, Robert Williams is
Robert
the
Williams. Robert Williams. Yep. That when him and Al Horford get out there on the same time, it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a problem. They get Pritchard. You know, they get Pritchard. They get Tatum, Jason, Horford, and Robert Williams. That's going to be too much size for them because Bam's going to get swallowed up and have to chase Al Horford around. So who's going to be under there getting boards and banging? With Williams and you know, with Williams, it's gonna be a problem.
Yeah, it was a frustrating third quarter. Obviously, that really was what fell apart for them. And you know, Jason Tatum had a terrific first half. It was easy almost. It seemed for him with the 21 points, but he had six turnovers. And the turnovers in that third quarter really were the ones that the most costly. Tatum was very frustrated after the game talking about it.
I don't want to turn the damn ball over like that, but. You know, I guess you're out of the course of a game, things happen, and they go on runs. That's what they did.
They go on runs. They certainly did. You know what else, too? Bart, the Heat are a really good I always talk about the third quarter. You know, there's this thing about the NBA that people have said for years about how you don't really have to watch, just wait, just, you know, show up with 5 minutes to go or watch just watch the fourth quarter. I disagree. Third quarter is such a tone-setting quarter.
In any sport.
It really is, especially in the NBA. It's just, you're right. In the NFL, too. It's so true.
You better make them adjustments. You see who made them adjustments.
Yeah.
Who's going to come out with that sense of
urgency? Right. That first possession, if you make a little push, you can take what looks like a blowout, make it a game again.
It's been Tom Brady.
The Heat have been the best third quarter team in the playoffs.
Yeah.
This is all about Miami and who they are. They have outscored their first two. So Atlanta and Philly, they were outscoring them in third quarters by 27 and a half points per game. I mean, that's think about that in Atlanta and Philly, at 20 per series, I should say. Like it's like they just dominate those series. Actually, it's per 100 possessions. I'm reading the stat wrong, Bart. What's wrong with me?
It's okay, man.
So they outscored them 20. So 27 points per 100 possessions is basically a full game. So that's what they're doing. They're extrapolating one quarter and making it a game. And so you're basically blowing a team out in the third quarter. That's what they do, and they did it again in this game. And that was the turning point. That's it. Yeah, I mean, there's no other place to look other than there. You could say Jimmy Butler got to the free throw line a ton. He made 17 free throws. Yeah. They started calling a lot of fouls in the second half. They did that because of the physicality that the Heat finally showed up with.
Yeah, but
I mean, I'm telling you, this is going to be a physical series. Right. It should be an entertaining
series.
Too
small. I'm going to tell you, the Heat are too small. I'm hearing you. The Heat too small. Bam is too small. Like, Bam is way too small. And, I forget the big ogre dude that they got come in with the big with the ball head. They're going to have to use him a lot more because they're going to need that size.
P.J. Tucker?
No, no.
Who are you talking about?
The ball head dude. You know, the fake blade looking dude. Look like Bad News Brown. Never mind. I'll tell you who he is.
The center?
Yes.
Oh, Deadman?
Yeah, Deadman.
Dwayne Deadman. The big man who. Yeah.
Yeah, he looks like Bad News Brown. Remember wrestling?
Very, very useful big man who comes off the bench for them. Yes. All right. 888 say ESPN. 888-729-3776 is
too
the number.
Big.
Bart is already. The Heat won game one, and Bart's already concerned for the Heat in this series.
I picked the Heat to win, but after saying that, I was like, nah.
You're worried. All right.
I was like, nah.
Well, in 30 seconds, I want to ask Bart a question. I want to ask everybody a question as well. The Heat, as I mentioned, that third quarter, that's their culture quarter. That's just, you could see it. That's who they are. The Heat are known for their culture. And I want to ask this question. Bart, would you rather play in the Heat culture or play in the Patriot way? Don't answer. Don't answer. And I want also those to call in about it as well. Do you prefer the Heat culture or the Patriot way? Before Bart answers, he's going to tell us about Granger.
What? But all the ones who get it done. Granger is here for you. And they're always there to help. Granger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, along with 24/7 support, experienced staff at curbside pickup at over 250 local branches. And you can get free access to product specialists ready to help you track down hard-to-find items. Plus, Granger's commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people even safer. Call 1-800-GRANGER, click Granger.com, or just stop on by.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Miami Heat went into the locker room. They were down 8 points.
They just played desperate, and I didn't think necessarily that their defense was physical enough. They weren't active enough in the first half. That all turned into third quarter. They didn't take anything for granted.
So the Heat take the 1-0 lead. They take game one in the West, in the Eastern Conference Series that started last night. 118-107, 118 points. The Celtics defense giving up 118. I mean, that second half, that third quarter, 39 points, it was just in a blink, it was suddenly over. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We're going to get your calls. And I just, because I was watching them, I watched that quarter, seeing them get back to the way they play, how tough they play, how physical they play.
Too little.
You know, the Tucker basically coming back out after the fact that he hurt his ankle, said, I don't care. He said there was a genie, Bart, he said there was a genie in the locker room.
Yeah,
because somebody said they asked him after the game, like, what happened in the locker room that you were able to come back out? He goes, there's a genie in there, and she granted me a wish. I got two left. His wish was to come back and play.
Better not use them all up during this series. He's going to need some if they get to the championship.
Yeah, well, maybe so, but they still got to get through the series first. But this was again, an interesting game. But as you watch that, I just thought, man, this is so typical Heat culture. And then I'm like, Heat culture, Patriot way. Which is the standard that players would say? Because, like Eric Spoelstra said of the Heat culture, it's not for everybody. And as you know about the Patriot way, it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
So, all right, I'll ask you, a guy who played in the league for over a decade.
Yep.
Would you prefer the Heat culture or the Patriot way?
I like the Ravens way.
That's not, I didn't ask you that.
That's the best culture.
But you gave me it's an obvious answer, but I didn't ask you that.
That's the best culture in sports. I'm telling you, that place is different. It's special. The only place.
You know what? I don't know.
It's the only place right now that you can go back right there and you would think you were stuck in 2002 because everybody there stays there. I'm talking the cafeteria man. Manny's still there.
I know.
Manny was in our team pictures.
We know Manny
is still there.
Yes.
Valerie is still there.
Valerie.
Dick Cash just left. That Raven way, you got to be a certain bad MF-er when you want to be a Raven. And you got to walk it just like you talk it.
Can I?
Who? The Jets?
No. We weren't talking about that. They're actually doing a 30 for 30 on that whole Raven way back in the early 2000s.
Damn, the early days.
Yeah, before you, unfortunately.
Damn it.
Yes, I know. Yes, I know.
We took it to the next generation after all them old dudes left.
Yes.
Damn.
But you won't answer the question then? Because I didn't give you Ravens as an option. I know you played for the Ravens, so you would say the Ravens. I wasn't giving you that option. I was giving you these two trademarks, Heat culture, Patriot way. Which one?
See, we don't know what the Patriot way is more.
Oh, my God.
No, honestly.
We know what it was.
We know what it was. But we don't know what it is now. Like,
can you answer it?
Now that 12 is gone, we don't know if it was the Patriot way or if it was the Tom Brady way. So I would have to go with the Heat.
Okay. You're going with
the Heat. Because you know why?
Why?
The Heat culture was the same with LeBron, Wade, and when they left, they've been to a championship. And yeah. They've been able to find guys who are undrafted and become contributors.
They started an undrafted backcourt.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, that's crazy, right?
That's what I'm saying, though. So I would go there because it's continued past arguably one of the best players to ever play in sports, which is LeBron James.
Okay.
Tom Brady left, and the Patriot way hasn't produced any results yet.
All right. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776.
Yeah, I'm a hater, so what?
No, it's fine. And Pat Riley set that tone just like Bill Belichick set the tone with those franchises, and they've had great success.
Who's more likable?
But
who's
it's not likeable? For everyone.
Who's more likable?
Yeah, more likable.
Who's more likable, Pat Riley or Bill Belichick?
Well, I mean.
Who would you want to hang out with?
Pat Riley.
Okay. See, yeah. It's not even close, right?
Although I still have beef with Pat Riley. Not anymore, though. He kind of squashed it with me years ago. But. Yeah, I would say Pat Riley. You made me freeze for a minute because I was thinking, like, Belichick's probably low-key fun.
No, he probably funny. Is. He probably is. Yeah.
So I wanted to change my thought, but I didn't. All right, so the Heat get game one. Bart says he's concerned, though, for the Heat because he feels like no matter what, they're going to be too small.
They're too little.
In this series, and he thinks the Celtics probably have the advantage there. The Western Conference Finals begin tonight. Dallas at Golden State, 9 o'clock is the tip-off, or a little bit after 9 o'clock is the tip-off. We have the game on ESPN Radio, 8:30 p.m. Eastern is the pregame show that begins. Yours truly will be handling pre and post. I'm looking forward to that. Hung out with Kevin Winter last night, who did the East, and the guy is a wizard. It's unbelievable, so we'll have some fun. And we've got Kesty, we've got PJ, and George Sedano on the coverage on ESPN Radio, if you're so inclined to listen there. All right, but we have your calls. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Heat Celtics, game one. Willie in Corona in California has something to say about the haters. Come on, Willie.
Mostly for all the sports writers, like,
You good? Willie?
I lost my train of thought.
I tell you what, we'll put you on hold. We'll need to recollect.
We'll come back to you, son.
John is in Connecticut.
He froze up, you know what I'm saying? Froze up like going on Apollo.
John is in Connecticut. What's up, John?
Hey.
John.
Hey, how you doing?
All right. What's good? What do you got?
Oh, Bart Hahn, you guys get me through the day. You guys are awesome.
Thank you.
First off, the Heat. I'm going to go with the Heat culture over Bill Belichick's culture. And then with the Celtics, we didn't have Smart or Horford. So, to be honest, it's not an excuse. Brown didn't have a good game. Tatum kind of fell off in the second half a little bit. But we'll get through in six. Thanks for my call, guys.
You got it, John.
I'm with you, too. I didn't think that until yesterday. I think the Celtics are way too big. I didn't realize how big the Celtics are compared to everybody else in the league. It's like they got the
well, creatine. They can switch everything.
I call them the creatine kids, man. Everybody out there got pecs and shoulders and stuff. It's like, damn, like both of the Williams brothers are like they should be like a DN tight end tandem. And then you forget, one of the biggest lies, all cap, that I heard yesterday was the fact that Jason Tatum weighs 210 pounds and he's only 6'8". Like, yeah, right. And I'm Santa Claus. That dude, big as hell. That dude blocked Kevin Durant's shot. He didn't block Kevin Durant's shot at 6'8", and he's 7 feet elevating. He's 6'10". He's still growing. They better push down that tape measure on that curly afro and see how tall he really is.
Yeah, I mean, 210 sounds – I mean, he's pretty skinny, but 210
like,
sounds
listen,
surprising.
Rasheed Wallace was 225 at 6'10". He way bigger than Rasheed.
I'm not sure about that one. All right, we continue. We got Emilio out in Miami. Emilio, what'd you see last night?
Emilio, man. Listen,
can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, baby?
I mean, we got.
Hey, hi, man. I wanted to make a comment, man, because I've been watching this radio station since this morning, man, since our week, uh-huh. right? Uh-huh. And I heard someone came on there earlier also saying, oh, you know, Boston in five. I know he's exaggerating because he probably don't watch basketball. But anyway, the thing about it is I feel like this guy that he was trying to say that he said that you guys probably don't watch Miami all year. One thing about it, everybody dealt with injuries. Everybody dealt with all types of adversity.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
But the thing about it is what people don't understand is when it comes to Jimmy Butler, there's a bigger story behind this. Like, it's just small nuances like winning defensive of the year. Bam took that very serious. That's one thing, explaining all these blocks and how actively he may not put up points, but at the end of the day, him being on there is a threat to even be in a pick and roll or any situation. Then you have Jimmy Butler that has a chip on his shoulder, that has problems, that has so much letdowns of not getting to the finals. And you know he wants one, and he's not going to allow Tatum to get one before him. He's running out of time as well. There are so many little things that I feel that plays a part in this. And then on top of that, yes, they're two very good teams. I hate that people are downgrading who Miami is and all that stuff. I'm telling you, especially when Kyle comes back, yes, 6 points per game, yes, it's not efficient. We all know this. But it's not about the points. They've made it clear all year, people follow Miami, you do not care about the points. It's not about the points. It's about who wins at the end of the day.
Emilio, you're giving me all the look. And by the way, I watched Heat a lot this season.
Yeah, I love the Heat,
but I want
them to win. But I don't think they are.
Yeah, the thing with Emilio is what Bart's saying. You just told me the player that they'll get back eventually, which I actually don't know how soon Lowry's coming back with that hamstring. I mean, he does not.
Yeah,
does not,
and he could be a liability because he's small. He's short.
Well, that's
so
the
part. He makes a team that's already smaller.
Right, and that's kind of what you were trying to say. Meanwhile, Marcus Smart probably comes back in game two.
And he can check buckets. And he's a smarter defensive player.
Well, what did Miami do? What did they – there was one thing Miami did that was smart. It was exactly what you do, no pun intended, but it was exactly what you do, exploited it, and there was nothing the Celtics could do about it.
Went after the fish.
It was a major flaw for the Celtics.
They kept getting him in the pick and roll.
They couldn't help. And you know what? We'll talk about it coming up with a good friend of ours who is covering the series for us at ESPN Radio.
What?
And she will join us live from Miami.
Did I see her behind the bench yesterday?
You might have. Yes, you did.
That's what I'm talking about.
The great Monica McNutt joins us next.
I saw them juicing berries in the back.
Phrasing. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Hahn.
It's Bart and Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. We've got your calls. We'll get to them. But we've got to talk more about this game from last night. And to do that, we should go to Miami.
Ooh.
I mean, it'd be nice if we could just literally go to South Beach, Bart, right?
We should. We could have shot the show from where Dan Lebatard used to shoot the show. We could have been at the Clevelander right now all week for the finals.
Man, wouldn't that be nice?
Eastern Conference, we should have been there.
So what's amazing is that on an off day between games one and two, our good friend Monica McNutt, who's on the coverage for
ESPN Radio. She was shining. Did you see her yesterday? I saw them juicing berries behind the bench at least six times. Six times I saw the juicing berries.
She always knows where the camera is, doesn't she?
Absolutely.
But I'll tell you what, for Monica at this time of day, it's 12:33 Eastern time.
Ooh.
In you know right
yeah,
now in Miami.
She was celebrating, too. She was in Brickell celebrating.
It must be beautiful right now, and for her to be wherever she is talking to us instead of somewhere on a beach sipping something sweet.
Why can't she do both?
You.
Why can't she do both? Are you doing both, Monica?
That's true. Monica, are you right now in a bathing suit near the beach?
Okay. All right. I'm in my hotel room. And the only reason I'm not taking this call from at least poolside is because I have a podcast to record in like 45 minutes. And you know, once you get out in the sun and you start chilling, then you just get kind of woozy and like the sun drains you. So I got work to do. But otherwise, I would be there.
Yeah, no, look, it's always working. That's what I love about you. All right, Monica, there's several things. Obviously, the third quarter to talk about. There's a lot of things. The Heat culture coming through in that third quarter. The Celtics missing a couple of guys. Before we get to all that, though, there was one thing that happened in this game that the Heat took advantage of that there was nothing that Boston could do about it. And that was the Peyton Pritchard switch matchup that they just destroyed him, right? I mean, was that one of those where you just throw the damn towel? Like, you just felt bad. There was, but that's today's NBA. They find the guy they call the fish, and they attack him relentlessly. And for Pritchard, he was the guy.
Yeah, man. Like, and it's funny because pregame, Coach Spo was talking about Max Strus basically being considered the fish for the Heat, or at least one of them.
Yeah.
And how Strus takes that personally. And the great Doris Burke pointed out that statistically, he's not as weak a link as people would suggest. And Spo was talking about how Strus, you know, takes that personally, right? And, like, the deal with that, though, is they're going to do it until it don't work, right? And Pritchard, unfortunately, was just kind of undersized, and I'm not really sure. I mean, maybe you go back to Neesmith a little bit, but you need a Pritchard to kind of help a little bit with some of that ball handling responsibility. So, I mean, yeah, it was just a tough matchup to lose Al Horford with such short notice. I mean, even without that news, I think the Heat are up to something special, but it was tough for the Celtics. Mm.
See, now, Monica, like, my first take from, like, kind of watching the game is I think that the third quarter was admiration. I think that Boston, I didn't realize just how big Boston is. Because when I was looking at Robert Williams, he was bouncing these dudes off of, and Bam didn't want no smoke. Bam was not aggressive in the first half. And I think it was mainly because he didn't realize just how big the physicality by Robert Williams was. He was, listen, they had reservations for the paint the entire first half, and I think they got a little bit away from it. I think that maybe their legs got tired, the game seven series that they were in. I think we saw the effects of it in the second half. But my take is that, man, Boston is big. And when they get Al Horford back and Smart back, they're going to get even bigger and more tenacious on the defensive end of this ball.
Now, from game one, Bart, who has the room to play better? It's definitely the Celtics. Between health and just the turnovers last night, they had 16 turnovers. Mm-hmm. But your point about Williams is interesting because when the Heat went 0-3 on shots contested by him and he was meeting people at the rim earlier in the ballgame, I immediately got on our Slack channel with our stats folks and was like, yo, like, what's the record with Robert Williams? Like, this is something we're going to have to watch. However, second half, I think because he was tethered, we'll say, to the paint offensively, it allows for that Heat defense to dig down in ways that they wouldn't have been able to if Horford was on the floor in terms of stretching the floor. Like, the two steals by Gabe Vincent, stripping Robert Williams were hugely important in terms of igniting that third quarter run. And so while, yes, I think how prolific that run was might stand out, the overall result of that run, or that run is the overall result, I should say, of what the Heat do well anyway. Like, I keep saying this, and I got to get the stat on what Jimmy Butler is shooting off of turnovers, but off of a defensive rebound, he is shooting 51% from the field. And so you played into exactly what the Heat wanted to do, and you saw them excel.
We're talking with Monica McNutt. She is, of course, part of the coverage of ESPN radio version of the Eastern Conference Finals, doing sideline reporting and doing it, of course, very well and fashionably, as Barr points out, as we saw you on camera a couple of times. But Monica, you did mention getting Al Horford back, Marcus Smart. Those are the two missing pieces for the Celtics. What is the latest that they're saying today about the availability of these two players? Because it doesn't sound like Horford, who's in the health and safety protocols, might even not be available for game two.
Yeah. I think worst case scenario for Horford is game four. He's got to go through the NBA protocols, which is the viral load number, or produce a negative test. And if not, like, that's a legit 5 days. And so y'all do the math. Like, that's tough.
Yeah.
Smart, we heard that they were hopeful that he might be in the mix for game two, but he's got to be able to make basketball plays. Yesterday, Ime said he was struggling to make basketball moves with that foot injury. So, yeah, man, like, it's a super tough draw. Both of those guys are vital to the Celtics' success. I think if you could only have one, I think Smart might be, just because of the attitude and the tenacity that he brings, the identity that he has to the Celtics squad, you're going to need that against this Heat squad.
Mike, I thought in Florida nobody cared about the virus. COVID didn't exist in Florida, so why does he have to take any protocol in Florida?
But, well, because Florida applies to the state of Florida, the NBA rules still apply wherever you go. But it's true. Let me tell you, these folks is outside. Like,
they out here.
Super cool. Listen, all the way outside. Like, I'm super mindful with the mask just because I would like to continue to enjoy covering the Eastern Conference Finals and the Finals. But and then plus, Brian Windhorst reported this morning, we kind of heard this yesterday on the ground, that the Celtics have had some cases pop up throughout the organization.
Yeah.
So they got to be careful.
Yeah, that's some concern. All right, I know you've got a podcast to do. I know you also
gotta
you got
to
get some sun time as well today on the off day, Monica.
Sun time, you're right.
Oh, yes. Monica, I'm going to be disappointed if you don't come back looking like Charlie Murphy. You better come back. I'm talking about darkness, everybody.
Bro, I'm trying, but I'm going to have, like, it's still sun out in Florida. I'm going to have, like, from 4 to 6 today. And I kind of need to go to the gym, too, but we're going to see. I'm going to work on it. I'm going to get some oil.
Sun instead of that. You need somebody stand there with that aluminum foil thing so we can magnify right. The sun.
Man, let her
work. I
got to
get some bronzing oil.
Let her work. Monica, we love you. Thanks so much.
All right, guys. Talk to y'all later.
All the best. Monica McNutt. Again, you can hear her on the coverage of the Eastern Conference Finals on the ESPN radio. And yes, if you're watching on ESPN TV, you will see her occasionally along the sidelines because that's where she's doing the work. All right, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. It's Bart and Han, ESPN Radio. Bart's coming to you live from Seaport District Pier 17, and it's brought to you by Chase. Coming up, we've got your calls, and the NBA lottery did not go the way of the Detroit Pistons.
Really? You're just going to do that?
Yeah. We'll explain what happened next. Bart and Han, ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
Bart and Han.
So fresh and so clean, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is the number. Heat culture, Patriot way, these are things we've learned about certain franchises that have just been consistently good and have a certain way that they play, and they don't apologize for it, which is the better one. And we saw Heat culture last night, especially in that third quarter. We go to Mike in Illinois. Mike.
Our caller's been tripping, man.
I mean, Mike. This is just...
Damn it, Mike!
Mike. I mean, this is serious.
Yo, what's up, fellas? Hey, I don't have a dog in this Miami-Boston fight. I'm a Chicago Bulls fan. Mm-hmm. But, and I don't know what happened in game one that changed everybody's minds. I thought Miami was good from the jump. But Vegas seems to think something has changed. I was looking at the futures for the NBA Finals winners. And Vegas had Miami anywhere between 4 and 5 to 1 to win the whole thing. Before that game, they went all the way down to 2.5, 3 to 1. I think you can get them at about +280 right now. Boston went from 2 to 1 to win the whole thing down to about, you can get them at like +300, +320. So yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, Miami jumps.
Caesars seems to think something changed.
Yeah, Caesars. It's just, well, it flips because game one winners, you have percentages of when you win game one of a conference finals. You know, there's a percentage of teams that go on to win the series. It's just 1, 3, and 5 are your pivotal games, right? They always seem to be those games that the winner of that usually translates into majority of times you win the series. So Miami is now +275, according to Caesars, and Boston is now at +300. So yeah, it flipped a little bit. In fact, that now Miami is the second has the second best odds to be in the NBA Finals. It's still the Warriors at +135. The Mavericks, you talk about disrespectful, by the way, +650. I mean, it's essentially just saying, yeah, don't expect the Mavs to be there, but that doesn't mean that they can't. Might be a decent bet, actually. Anthony's in the Bronx. Ant.
+275.
Anthony.
Yes. Ant,
what's up?
What's happening? Yo.
How we doing? Wow. Thanks for having me. Yeah, so
we only have like 30 seconds now. Hurry up. Quick.
In regards to Heat culture and the Patriot way, all you got to do is watch that Rob Gronkowski interview when he's almost crying. And at least with the Patriot way, or excuse me, with Heat culture, I know I'll be in the best shape of my life.
Oh, yeah. That practice is legendary, baby.
Yeah. I mean, that's the one thing they force you to do is to be in great shape. But they also take players that might not have been like the top of their class. I mean, you got undrafted guys, and they've turned them into starters for winning a playoff game. Just amazing what they've done there.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, Alan Han, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. So the draft lottery was yesterday. Bart, were you paying attention?
Hell yeah. Thanks for trying to tease me. But listen, sometimes when you pick later, you get the best player.
Oh, that's just what we're doing now?
Yeah, you can have checks. Everybody can go get them.
Once we found out that the Sacramento Kings had jumped into the top four, it got intriguing. Okay, that means one of those teams in the top four fell out. Who would it be? And we found out at pick number 5, it was the Detroit Pistons. Sorry.
No, we got it right where we want them.
I heard you from all like just you were frustrated when I texted it. When I put it into the group chat, you were mad. Now you're acting like it's like no big deal.
So I had opportunities to kind of sit back. Maybe that stopped us from getting fake Darko. Getting Darko 2.0 that saved us.
You don't like Chet Holmgren at all, do you?
Too skinny, man.
He's very skinny.
If you go there, he in Detroit, he'll get big pretty quick. But
He might lose his confidence.
Well, I want you to talk to Mark in Michigan because he wants to make a trade. Mark, what do you got?
Okay, I got for Bart, you know, fellow Detroit Pistons fan myself, named my son after the great Isaiah Thomas. Mm-hmm. What do you feel about us trading our fifth pick and Jeremy Grant for that number two pick so we can get Pablo Bancaro, get us a nice big man down low?
See, that's why I was hoping for Bancaro. I think he may slip. Allen doesn't like him.
I didn't say I didn't like him.
You hate him, Allen. Tell the truth. If you don't love him, you hate him. If you don't love him, you hate him then.
But you're just taking it way too far. I just said I don't.
I mean, we definitely need to trade Jeremy Grant. We were trying to trade him last year. He had the injury. But what's wrong with Jabari Smith?
But what? No, nothing. Nothing. This is
6'10".
This is not a draft. It's like this is not a superstar draft. This is a draft of depth.
It's like Obi Toppin draft.
I mean, it's another one of these drafts. But that's what you're just going to have depth or somebody that you're just going to gamble on. That's a young player that you hope you can develop into something special. But this just isn't a superstar kind of draft. It's just not that year. But why would the Thunder take Jeremy Grant?
Didn't he play there before? He seemed like he's been everywhere.
Well, but they're not about taking on contracts. They're not about taking on. And it's certainly all about just collecting picks.
Man, they got more picks than anybody.
Yeah. Well, what you got to watch, though, is the idea that teams have to learn now, like the idea of tanking. I mean, I would hope now, the whole process thing with the Sixers, can we put that to rest? The idea of trying to lose and get as many draft, you know, essentially the teams, you know, Orlando. I mean, they got lucky. We'll talk with John Hammond later in the show. They got a little lucky, but that's really where they were. They were already in that spot. They had a chance to win number one. They were one of the three teams with the 14% chance. Houston, Oklahoma City, these are teams that were right there, and they finished right there. So Adam Silver talked about tanking and how they changed the lottery so that it would keep teams from doing such.
I think it's working well. It's not a sort of perfect sample because of COVID, the pandemic. It started in the bubble in a hybrid form, so in some ways we're in the third year. But initially, it seems to be working really well. Both combination of flattening the odds to disincentivize, obviously, finishing at the bottom. But on top of that, the play-in then creates an incentive to stay competitive. And what we've seen in the last 2 years is that with roughly 2 weeks left in the season, 1 year we had 25 teams still in contention. Next year we had 24 teams still in contention. So that's what we were really hoping for.
Yeah, a little bit of both, right, Bart? So you changed up the percentages so that you really got to be bottom three to have the best chance, and it's proven out. And then they add the play-in that keeps two-thirds of the league kind of engaged down the stretch instead of trying to lose on purpose.
Yeah, how many teams with the worst record has got the number one pick?
The very worst record? Yeah, I have to look that up. I don't know off the top of my head, but I do know the year that the Knicks had the worst record, they didn't win. And I do know that once again, the Knicks didn't win. And the Orlando, think about this, man. The Orlando Magic have won now four times. This is the first time since 2004, though, when they got Dwight Howard. But remember, they went back-to-back when they got Shaq.
Yeah.
They got the number one pick, and they traded, and they got Penny Hardaway.
Cleveland's been like that, too.
Cleveland has five since Patrick Ewing and the whole frozen envelope. Yeah. The Knicks have had zero lottery wins. In fact, they have zero move up in the lottery.
They hate the Knicks.
And the Cleveland Cavaliers have won it five times. Five.
Yeah, that's.
And one year they took Anthony Bennett.
Yeah.
How the hell do you reward that?
Listen, how many people are even still left? Like you said, they took Andrew Wiggins.
Yeah, Wiggins was the next year.
LeBron traded him, Kyrie Irving.
Well, I mean, how'd things work out, though, with LeBron and Kyrie? I mean, it still worked out. They got a title. I mean, Cleveland finally won a championship. So it you'd say it worked out, right?
The Nets took Kenyon Martin. Yeah.
Well, look at the draft, though, that year. That's just the way it went that year. Don't hate on Kenyon Martin. How dare you?
He was an okay player.
He's a friend of the show. And you're going to say he's a friend of the show and you're doing that.
I love Kenyon, but he wasn't number one type pick.
Well, he was that year.
You know what I'm saying.
He was part of them going to the
finals. He had just broke his leg, too.
Yeah.
An attorney. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All I know is that if you're in New York, you're thinking to yourself, this team loses all the time and they never win the lottery. They don't even move up in the lottery. And yet I got franchises winning five and four times.
They do that on purpose.
On purpose?
I think it's rigged.
Maybe it is. We should discuss it coming up next.
Bart and Han.